Good afternoon. Hi, welcome to MoMA's Brown Bag Lunch Lecture Series. I'm really pleased to have you in this awful weather today. I hope you sit there cozy, enjoy your meal if you brought anything. Lecture should be about 45 minutes, and I will also conclude with question and answer sessions if you have any questions. Today's lecture would involve on Japanese interpretation of the word kankyo. This Japanese kankyo is the translation of environment. And environment, by environment, you might have association with today's environmental art that would take place outdoors, like those which are often called land art or maybe ecological art. But this term, environment, in the 1960s, Japan meant totally something totally different. In a way, it was a little more close to Alan Kaplow's idea of assemblage environments and happening. This seminal book came out in 1966, exact the same year when the exhibition that I'm going to focus on in this lunch lecture today was put together by a group of Japanese artists. So I will go back later on to Alan Kaplow's idea of environments and how was it different, or how could it have inspired Japanese artists in their notion of environment. But I will first introduce you what this exhibition was all about. So environment, or kankyo, is a key word in understanding the development of vanguard Japanese art in the latter half of 1960s. An early but important event associated with this term, kankyo, was the founding of this Kankyo no Kai, in other words, Environment Society, in November 1966. And this Environment Society held its exhibition and event program called Kūkan kara Kankyo e, translated as From Space to Environment. An exhibition was held at the Matsuya Department Store Gallery. You might think it's funny that it's taking place in a department store, but in fact, many art exhibitions, many fine ones, have occurred in exhibition space inside the department stores in Japan in the post-war years. That's a way for department stores to attract captive shoppers, I think, after. They still do that today. Galleries often are located in the top floor of department stores, and for the duration of afternoon, they can, enjoy shopping. So anyway, this group, Society of Environment, was very multidisciplinary in nature, consisting of 38 individuals, including artist Yamaguchi Katsuhiro Aio, an architect Isozaki Arata, designer Awaz Kiyoshi, and even art critics Takeuchi Shuzo and Tono Yoshiaki. This title itself of this exhibition reflected. So this is the list of participants and their works in a Space to Environment exhibition. And the title itself reflected the shared awareness of internationally popularized term environment in art and urban design among these members. In their conception, an environment allowed a more dynamic and even chaotic relationship between the viewer and art, while a space presents a fixed yet harmonious relationship. The concept of environment was clearly posed as a counterpoint to the notion of space, and was used to suggest the inseparable relationship to one's own surrounding. instead of alluding to ecological circumstances, which the word signifies today, 環境, the environment here, represented physical circumstances. So this is a medium Webster Dictionary online definition of environment today, but it seems to me that this Japanese interpretation of the word closely follows number two or number one, the circumstances or the complex of physical and chemical, mostly physical circumstances. And this concept was eloquently visualized by the logo of a man in a vortex created by the graphic designer Fukuda Shigeo. I'm sure that MoMA owns some of design works by him. This special issue of Bijutsu Techo, which is a very leading, still today, art magazine in Japan, comparable to Art Forum, perhaps, or Art in America here in this country. And they issued this special issue of this exhibition and simultaneously published with the exhibition. So it was almost like this volume of special art magazine functioned as a virtual exhibition space. In his recent book, Sensou to Banpaku, or in English, World Wars and World Fairs, art critic Sawara Ginoi traces the origin of 環境, environment, to the nationalist architectural design during the World War II, proposed by the Great East Asia Construction Committee, consisting of such prominent architects as Tange Kenzo. Using Tange's plan for the holy terrain for the sacrificed souls as an example, Sawaragi argues that the committee emphasized inherently Japaneseness of Kankyo no Chitsujo, in other words, spirit of construction with the environmental order. You know, quote. This view, this is a design that was never realized, proposed by the Great Asia Construction Committee. And this was basically a mausoleum for the deceased soldiers in World War II. And it was to be built, I don't know if you recognize the Mount Fuji in the background far left, in a terrain right beneath the Mount Fuji, and horizontal buildings and tombs designed for soldier were to be sort of constructed altogether for promoting the imperialist notion of the nation and the grandiose impression was also sort of implied in this landscape rendition. So this art critic argues that this environment, 環境, was first used in this imperialist context. And compared to Western architecture focused on individual buildings, the committee insisted that Japanese architecture always developed in relation to its environment. Sawaragi deducts that this nationalist implication of 環境 was passed on to Isozaki Arata, who was a key figure in Kūkan kara Kankyō-e, this exhibition, as well as Osaka Expo World Fair in 1970. In order to assert his theory, Sawaragi glosses over the rapid internationalization of Japanese society in 1960s, and thus neglects the close relationship between Japanese and Euro-American avant-garde circles. Through examining conceptual and stylistic affinities between Eastern and Western post-war arts, this paper will offer an alternative reading of history by tracing a transnational lineage of the Japanese word 環境. First, let me give you a virtual walkthrough of the exhibition, 空間から環境へ, as I explain key components. To promote a dynamic relationship between the viewer and art, artists often incorporated kinetic or interactive elements, or reflective materials. And this is the way that Arrow suggests the way you enter the exhibition. And this diagram was included in the art magazine I showed previously. And as you walk in, upon seeing, entering the gallery, you first find mobile spiral sculptures by industrial designer Tomura Hiroshi. I think they would have given a similar sort of impression, playful impression that you would get from seeing Alexander Calder's mobile that we have that would supposed to move in wind or slight movement in the air. And as you walk past it, you encounter a large floor sculpture by graphic designer Awazu Kiyoshi, which encourages you to actually walk on it so that the light and bubbles underneath change in response to your movement. This one, I haven't really found out actual details of what happens when you walk on top of it, which is still under investigation. And behind this Awazu's installation is Tanaka Shintaro's kinetic sculpture Herd, which pivots on the top of transparent plexiglass post. In this black and white photo, you can't really see it, but this is an actual sculpture in a different setting in Kobe's outdoor sculpture garden. And this one is also supposed to move, pivots around at the top. And to the right of Tanaka's work was Ihara Michio's aluminum screen composed of numerous long twisted aluminum plates like this, suspended in the air. Its reflective surface fractures the environment. Ihara Michio, as I investigated, he moved to the United States, and his piece is actually in Lincoln Center somewhere, which I have to also find. To the right of these works was a wall relief consisting of the mirrored concave glasses by Tada Minami, who had turned from painting to sculpture and light design for architectures in the early 1960s. Her curved mirrors distort their surroundings. If you were the viewers in this exhibition, of course, your own image will be distorted in this mirror. This is the current picture of similar work in the cities in different settings. Also displayed in the same room was the former members of Highlight Center, Takamatsu Jiro's Sore Jitai de Kyori o Motta Shokutaku, very long descriptive title meaning a dining table with its own distance. This is a filmical piece. It's carved diagonally, so this is what you see, and it's supposed to give you sort of distortion of an illusion. Critic Tono Yoshiaki suggested that work assaulted normative human perception of a perspective and an assumption that everyday objects such as a dining table would always look the same. Similarly, deceptive to the viewer's eyes are large sculptures by Miki Tomio and Miyawaki Aiko. Employing simple geometric forms that are concentrically repeated, both metal sculptures give an impression that their depth is infinite. Miki Tomio on the left was about maybe this wall's high, very large, and Miyawaki's was large, but maybe about half of that size. More decisively interactive than these works were I.O.'s finger boxes displayed in a back room, which allowed the viewer to put his or her finger into a hole in the center to feel what's inside. Hidden mechanisms include a soft lever, sharp nails, be careful, and void for a surprise. So in one of them, you will find nothing but void and feel sort of deceived by expectation. Also in the back room was an aluminum cylinder hung from the ceiling, which produced eerie sounds as a viewer approached or moved hand around it. The composer Ichiyanagi Toshi created this complex interactive sound mechanism based on an electric instrument called theremin, which was invented by a Russian electronic engineer around the turn of the century. Ichiyanagi Toshi, by the way, was a composer who was married to Yoko Ono as her first husband. He was in New York in the mid-50s to early 60s. And he developed this in collaboration with the inventive sound engineer Okuyama Junosuke. Furthermore, another technologically enhanced work in a separate room was Yamaguchi's light sculpture made of plastic in paired forms. They're in same forms, but just inverted. The position of each sculptural part is interchangeable, and each position alters the way the light becomes reflected on it. That lit light is supposed to flash like an alarm light. Even in this partial overview, it is apparent that the exhibition presented different interpretations of and approaches to environment, and it was far from asserting a unified view. While Sawaragi stresses the architectural origin of the concept environment, it was certainly not the sole source of inspiration for this exhibition. Of 38 participants, only two were architects and whose works were not even displayed prominently in the exhibition. In this Meet BT magazine, however, their works were juxtaposed with their counterparts in Europe in order to stress their international relevance. So for example, one of the architects participant in this exhibition, Hara Hiroshi's work, Square on the right, it's made of, I think, veneer wood. It's an architectural maquette, or more like a conceptual sculpture. It didn't directly lead to an architectural project. But it was paired with the work by British architect James Stirling. He was the guy who built engineering building in University of Rochester in 1963. And they do share similarities of opening up the ceiling into the light and the air. And also Hara Hiroshi's inspiration for the opening these holes was creatures in the ocean, like coral. So that was, I'm not sure if James Stirling took inspiration from such natural forms, but they seem to share some interest in opening up architectural mass to the environment in that way. Strange? Yes.
Stretch.
Yeah. And another architect, Isozaki, who was the main figure in this exhibition, only exhibited this small maquette on the right. It's more of a conceptual maquette again. It's a slicing of the interior of a bank he built in Fukuoka in Kyushu, southern island in Japan. All he did in conceptualizing this light source into this building was to use these red arrow So for him too, I think seems to be that most important thing in this architecture was to consider the maximum flow of light, access to the light into the space. The list is very big. And he's paired with the work by Swiss-born designer Max Huber's room that he designed for Milan Triennial, Milano Triennale. And Isozaki was definitely also inspired by modernist architects such as Louis Kahn and Le Corbusier, whose works were also included in this magazine. So the magazine included many of the reproductions of architects and designers whose works were not part of the exhibition. Isozaki also made a very significant contribution of designing the spatial organization of the exhibition by creating small maze-like compartments. I don't know if you can see those darkened black rooms toward the back. And he was able to mix and match various media of works and in order to induce chaotic confusions in audience perception. The rest of Kankyo no Kai, Society of Environment, was comprised of 17 visual artists, mostly sculptors, 10 graphic and industrial designers, 4 photographers, 2 composers, and 2 critics. 4 of these designers, including Katsui Mitsuo and Fukuda, had organized the Persona exhibition previous year to revitalize creativity in design, also at this same venue, Matsuya Department Store. Katsui Mitsuo's work on the left, which is a plexiglass cube printed with geometric or more of a psychedelic design printed by silkscreen on the surface. And these boxes, I was able to see actual objects this summer in my research visit to his studio, but it was supposed to be hung from the ceiling at alternating heights to let the light go through those patterns. And when these 4 designers, including Katsui, went to consult with art critic Takiguchi Shuzo about their next exhibition, Takiguchi Shuzo suggested interdisciplinary collaborations with artists in other fields and made introductions to these other people, including critics, architects, composers. This is the art critic Takiguchi Shuzo, who is very central figure in Japanese 20th century art, maybe more so than Clement Greenberg here in this country, very pivotal in Japanese modernism, and especially in introduction of surrealism to Japan. Takiguchi, the prominent catalyst role that Takiguchi played in the formation of Kankyo no Kai is not surprising, since he had begun promoting intermedia collaborations in the mid-1950s, helping young artists form the collective called Jikken Kobo. In English, it's called Experimental Workshop, and these people were introducing many of, I think, aesthetics influenced by Bauhaus and Russian constructivist in Japan around the mid-1950s. And they, for example, designed the theater stage design for this ballet, The Future Eve. Takiguchi's ideal of an intermedia collective, partly inspired by Bauhaus, was carried on to Society of Environment, partly through Yamaguchi, who was a member of this experimental workshop. In their individual statements included in a special issue of BT magazine, both Takiguchi and Yamaguchi mentions as their predecessor Frederick John Kiesler, Romanian American theater designer and architect who collaborated with surrealists in their exhibition designs in Europe and United States. Having passed away in 1965, Kiesler's art and theories, including co-realism, were made available through international magazines and found new resonance among artists involved in Kankyo no Kai. So there's a, this is a quote from Frederick Kiesler's manifesto on co-realism. And Kiesler's idea, especially that the traditional art object, be it a painting, a sculpture, a piece of architecture, is no longer seen as an isolated entity, but must be considered within the context of this expanding environment, was a starting concept for the Japanese Kankyo. According to the manifesto issued by Society of Environment, the shift from space to environment was necessitated by the intense self-deconstructions in various artistic realms in response to dramatic and radical transformations in a society, human consciousness and perception, and the system of human activities. They thought that we have to respond to these changes in a society. While such self-destructions of artistic genres seem to call for a new system, Society of Environment, especially this critic Takiguchi, was skeptical of environment turning into yet another style and fixed system. Instead, the Society of Environment proposed a chaotic site where various site genres intersect and collide, which curiously resonated with the concepts of environment and happenings by their contemporary Alan Kaplow in this country, United States. In his dialogue with Isozaki in BT magazine, younger critic Tono Yoshiaki mentioned that he recently learned of environment as a concept of art during his trip to United States. Of the two trips Tono made to New York in 1961 and 66, the latter likely allowed him to obtain a copy of Kaplow's just-published assemblage, Environments and Happenings. In fact, Tono's following statements in BT magazine seems to be almost direct quotations from Kaplow's book. I quote, "The consciousness of environment was first found in American action paintings, and happenings occurs only once, induced by surrounding objects, passage of time, and accidental sounds. The environment is a site for happenings as well." In the same dialogue, Tono also emphasized Louise Nevelson's sculpture as an environment, and her sculpture was reproduced in a magazine as well. This summer, when I went to see the Nevelson retrospective at the Jewish Museum, I found the piece actually titled Environment. She was using that as early as 1965 or so. In addition, music critic Akiyama Kuniharu, who stayed in New York to participate in Fluxus in 1963, provided for this same magazine a statement about experiential aspect of environment, along with many photographs of happening events, happenings and Fluxus events. So he seems to have gotten direct contact with Kaplow, and he brought with him to Japan these photographs that were actually used in Kaplow's book. So there was another connection. And Akiyama Kuniharu, that I mentioned as a music critic, is a very interesting person. He was also a composer, came to New York in 1963, but ended up participating in Fluxus events as a conductor in Fluke's concert. You know, conducting performers do very funny, destructive things on the stage. And Tono Yoshiaki, another critic, brought back to Japan information about minimalist sculpture in 1966. He took, in fact, pictures of sculptures by Donald Judd and Robert Morris displayed in a primary structures exhibition at the Jewish Museum and reproduced them in the same magazine. Their aggressive physicality and potential interactivity seem to have inspired him to curate another exhibition that preceded Kūkan kara Kankyō e at Minami Gallery in September 1966, which included the same mobile piece by Tanaka Shintaro. This is a very tiny exhibition space, as you can see. In this exhibition, he included several artists who were to participate in Kūkan kara Kankyō e, Isozaki, the architect, Tanaka, the sculptor, and Miki Tomio and Yamaguchi, two other sculptors. And along with some American artists, Sam Francis and Anne Truitt, whose sculpture we happen to have at the MoMA on the fourth floor, Tono seems to have taken an active role by actually recruiting artists whose work would fit the concept of Kankyō. Along with Akiyama, members of Tokyo Fluxus were responsible to realization of the event portion of Kūkan kara Kankyō e. This exhibition was accompanied by evening of an event at a different venue, Sōgetsu Art Center, which was a venue for many avant-garde music and cinema, dance, performances throughout 1960s in Japan and also in the 50s. Ichiyanagi's environmental music, this was so called, was performed by Takamatsujiro, a graphic designer Fukuda Shigeo, Tono, and Ayo. And Ayo was another artist, Japanese artist, who came to New York in 1958, participated in New York Fluxus, and was temporarily back in Japan in this year. So for this piece, what they did was four performers sat on chairs, and they gradually inclined their bodies to the point that they would just fall to the ground. After that, instructions by Ichiyanagi would only say that. Incline your body as slowly, as silently as possible. But after they fell to the ground or they inclined as much as possible, these performers were so creative that they deviated from Ichiyanagi's piece and started doing things like climbing on. Going underneath the chair and kicking the chair, and some theatrical thing happened in that evening. And Ayo, this person I mentioned, who is the person with the beard on the right, was in this country, and he was also perhaps the first Japanese artist to encounter Alan Capello in person, who came into his studio one day with a common friend of theirs and called Ayo's tea house an environment. So Ayo vividly remembers that, and he started using the word environment ever since in that term. And another member of Fluxus who had just returned to Japan was Mieko Shiomi, who performed her new piece, Compound View, with Akiyama, Ayo, and Yamaguchi, those people I just mentioned, in this event in the same evening. In this performance, she had put together very disparate actions, such as her coming onto the stage and diluting this blue powder in water tank and people coming out to the stage, and they would write word of their choice on a cigarette and start smoking and put the ashes of the cigarette into the water tank while the stuffed pheasant went back and forth above their head. So, you know, it's very dream-like, inconsequential events happened. So, highlighting such daily actions as sitting and smoking, these events stimulated within the audience a new consciousness of the environment and how they interacted with it. In conclusion, 空間から環境へ, this exhibition presented an amalgam of international conferences of cutting-edge ideas in art, design, architecture, and music. Not only did the Japanese Kankyo resonate with postmodern concepts as Alan Kaprow's environments and happenings and Fluxus events, but it also had our historical roots in Euro-American modernism represented by Bauhaus. While Kūkan kara Kankyōe presented potentials for multiple directions for further development of environmental art in Japan, it was soon narrowed down to a popular trend of technology-based art, majority of which was realized in conjunction with the Expo, Exposition 1970 in Osaka. This was, by the way, a most popular world exposition in the world. Supposedly, one-third of Japanese entire population attended this expo, millions of people. And it was main players of Kūkan kara Kankyōe exhibition were employed in designing the multimedia pavilions at this Osaka Expo. Although the criticism of this kind of art, technological art, with nationalistic overtones has overshadowed the preceding development of intermedia in Japan, it's about the time that we evaluate earlier experiments such as Kūkan kara Kankyōe in their own right in order to further understand how transnational and transgenre exchanges have shaped today's Japanese art. Well, thank you very much.